You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Kim Pfeiffer, welcome to the Carrie Croft Show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
I wasn't expecting this dime piece to walk in. I mean, you walk in, I'm like, wait, are you here for the modeling shoot? Are you on the wrong, at the wrong door?
You know how to build a girl
It's
up.
True. I speak the
Thank
truth.
You.
I don't bullshit. You remind me of someone famous. I think as I'm sitting here talking, I probably will get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
So to color this in for people at home, because I have gotten in trouble from some of my listeners. They reach out to me on text, which I love. And I had one loyal listener the other day. She's like, Carrie, you didn't frame up that conversation. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, ah, good point. Good coaching for the newbie. So to frame this up as to how we are sitting together,
okay.
I decided, my friend Allie said, hey, I got this idea. Would you donate a podcast to the Make-A-Wish auction? I'm like, absolutely, I would love to. And I was so curious to see what would come out of that. And as fate would have it, Tammy Dean was in there doing photography, and she saw that and she thought, well, shit, I think Kim would be perfect. She owns this design group and she's a badass and she would be perfect for the Carrie Croft Show. So she's like, hey, she does social media for you.
Yep.
Hey, I think I'm going to do this. You're like, do it. And here we are.
Yep.
Right?
Here we are.
I think that was such a great creative idea. Anybody else that wants me to do any donation shows, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah.
So alas, we meet. I want to start with the fact that you are a badass business owner, right? So you have a design firm and you have, you said 13 designers, but you have 20 women.
Right.
So let's just talk about, before we go into the history, current state, what is that like managing all these personalities?
So full disclosure, we have a great team. We do. And what's really interesting to see over the years is the friendships cultivate within the team. I mean, none of them really knew each other, maybe a couple. But just the closeness that makes me feel good. Like I've connected everybody. But just a lot of different personalities, strong personalities, a lot of people pleasers. Again, we want to please our clients, but then we want to please each other. And so it's interesting dynamics.
Yeah. So what made you want to start this design company? Where does your background come from? Like, you always been into aesthetics?
So I've always loved design. And this is such a cliche thing because I think there's so many designers who say this. Oh, I was the kid who was always redecorating my room and moving things around. And I mean, that was true. That's kind of how I kind of got a little passion for it. And then interesting, when I was going to go to college, my parents were like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I kind of want to, dive into design. And they're like, well, you're not going to make any money in that. You need to figure out something else. I'm like, okay. So then I thought, well, I'm just going to get my business degree because that opens the door to all different possibilities. So my degree is actually in business and finance, but you have to have that background. Even if you're an individual designer running a design business, if you don't know how to do the financial part of it, you're going to flop. So I appreciated their honesty, and I am glad that I did the business degree because I didn't go into design right away. I mean, I went a different career path, which I was able to mentor with people. I had a few different managers and figured out, don't like their management style. Oh, I love her management style. So I learned a lot.
So you worked initially for, was it Roof Inn?
Red Roof Inn.
Red Roof Inn.
Yes.
I know Red Roof Inn.
Yeah.
Okay. So were you doing any sort of design element there? Or was it just you were just working for, you weren't designing the rooms or doing anything like that? Okay.
No. I was actually working at the corporate office in Hilliard, it's been closed up for years, but it was the most amazing environment. So I learned a lot from that environment. They created a very family environment. Everyone, I don't know. It was the best company. And my first job out of college, and I didn't know any better. And then another opportunity came up, and I was like, well, it's more money, I'm going to jump. And but then they got bought out and things changed. But yeah, I was in like their marketing department.
Okay. So how old were you when you first got married? So your first marriage?
I was 25.
So you were a wee baby.
I was a wee baby.
And this was before the design group was even a glimmer in your eye.
Yes.
Okay. So you get married and you're thinking, I'm going to go down the traditional road, have kids, you know, work a job maybe or not or whatever, right?
Right.
So where in that path in your first marriage did the design group, when was it born?
So
I refer to the businesses as babies because okay. They really are.
It is a baby. So we lived in Clintonville and we had a home there that needed a lot of work. And we did all the work ourselves and just learned remodeling. My mom sewed window treatments and I learned how to do that and just kind of putting it all together. So when our realtor came back about a year later, she's like, I'm nominating your house for the Clintonville Tour of Homes. And I'm like, our little, you know, it was probably 1,300 square feet house. And so they have all the realtors go through and they're like, oh my gosh, we love this. And I had all the before, during, and then obviously they saw the after. And so we got picked for the Tour of Homes, which we went to like a preview party and some of the homes in it, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? They picked our little Cape Cod house that these 20 some year olds did next to these gorgeous, you know, probably designer design homes. And so anyways, we got really good feedback from people. And so our realtor is like, hey, there's a couple people who have contacted me and they want to talk to you about coming over to their home in Clintonville. And what can we do with our Cape Cod and help us, you know, design a new primary bedroom? Or so that's kind of how it all got started. I had Caitlin in 2000 and we were still living in that house and I had decided not to go back to work, but I was freaking out because I'm not the stay at home
mom. You can say it.
I'm just not. I love my kids to death, but like play groups and it just wasn't.
Listen.
It wasn't me.
Let's take a quick park here for the stay-at-home moms. Truly. Because I think stay-at-home moms are truly superheroes.
They are.
I have some near and dear in my heart. Actually, my little sister, Haley, who's one. And it is the toughest, most mind-screwing situation that you could possibly be in. It's beautiful and magical and the most important thing ever. And then it's numbing and mundane. And then you're all twisted up with all these different emotions. Yeah. It's crazy. And you work your tail off. So
yeah,
good for you. I love you all out there, but I agree with you. Yeah. I don't have that.
Well, and then you have, when you do think like, I need to get a job, I need to use my brain, I need to use that degree that I worked really hard for. And then you have the mom guilt. Like, oh, I have to leave my kid. It's mm-hmm. just, it's a lot.
No, it's actually you're set up to fail.
Yeah.
You really are. You really have to figure. I mean, it's like, what the hell? I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. So my question now is, your first husband, when this new company starts to form, that definitely creates a different dynamic
mm-hmm.
for sure. So how did that sort of evolve? I mean, you're divorced now. So mm-hmm. how much did the business play in that? Or do you look it back and go, it was kind of like destined to end that way anyway?
You know, I would say he was kind of on board at first, but was like, you know, it was like your little hobby, you know? And I always had a job. I always had, and I hate to say this, but my own money. Like, and all of a sudden, I was like, what do you mean I have to ask you if I can buy something? Like, that bothered me. And that's not why I'm saying I started a company, but I wanted to do something that I was passionate about. And so he was on board at first, but again, just supporting my quote unquote hobby. And then, you know, as I got busier, he's like, well, he has like an accounting degree. So he's like, well, I'll do your invoices for you. And he and I are polar opposites on personality and just business. He's very black and white, and I'm not. I am a people person, and I'm a people pleaser, and he's like the rule follower, and no, their invoice is not paid. And I was just like, okay, this is not good.
This isn't going to work.
And we would get in arguments about like what I wasn't doing right, even on the finance side. And I'm like, but I'm bringing in all this business. And
well, but and it's my company.
And it's my, but it's,
boy,
it's not a company. It was a little hobby that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I will tell you, though, the breaking point with everything was, I want to say I had been doing design work for maybe 4 years. And we at that point lived up in Lewis Center. And they have a, I think it was like suburban newspapers, and it was delivered on Wednesdays or something. And so in there was an article, and it was all the Reader's Choice Awards. And so it could have been a car wash, a local restaurant, a dry clean or whatever. Well, there was an interior design category. And I won the category, and I had no idea. I didn't know I was nominated. And so he just read it, and he's like, oh, here, your name's in the paper for it. That was it. And he just sat in his chair, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me right now? That was.
Oh, yeah.
That pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the moment I was like, you are so not supportive.
That might be a fireable offense. Are you kidding me?
It was a fireable offense. So, yeah, that was.
You're like, OK, we go. So what's the relationship like today? Are you guys?
It's fine.
It's fine. You just kind of. OK.
Yeah.
So what, how old were the kids then when you got divorced?
So officially when we got divorced, they were like 8 and 11. So they were young.
OK. Yeah. So when you did get the divorce, did that also then fuel you even more for this business where you're like, OK, it is go time.
Yes.
Go time. But then how, I guess, let me ask this. How much time did you spend being sad and in this whole like death of what was? Or were you more just like ready to go?
That is a good question. I guess like the sadness was there. It was more like, to me, it was more that I failed at something big. And I didn't like that. Like, you know, and everyone's like, oh, the divorce rate's 50%. I'm like, I didn't know one person who was divorced. I mean, I just didn't. I mean, all of our friends, our mutual friends are still married. So that was tough. But it was, the motivation was not only did I want to succeed because I wanted to be able to do that for my kids, I didn't want to rely on him. And he was just one of those people. It's like, well, you know, because of your hobby, you're never going to be able to get a mortgage. You're not going to be able to put the business credit card just in your name because you don't make enough money. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I'm like, watch me. So there's a quote that it kind of pertains to him, and I think he knows that. And it's hanging in my office, and it says, tell me I can't, and I'll work twice as hard to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, even the designers know me because one of my designers got me a little sign one time for my birthday, and it says, underestimate me. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
So I have that. And it's funny because my daughter's like, I mean, she's like, I know that quote because I've heard you say it before. And, you know, I never tried to talk negatively about her dad, but that was a big turning point, was you don't support me. And I do tell my daughter, you have to be with someone who supports you 100%.
Well, and let's be honest, it's not like his thought process veers very far from mainstream. I mean, we're underestimated all the time.
Right.
And when you have a male female dynamic, a lot of times you have that, oh, is it your little hobby? Or a lot of women have to ask for money or whatever. So it's not like he was like outrageously, you know, over here being a crazy person.
No.
But, you know, it's like that just shows you our society and the way the roles and how things need to continue and are continuing to change.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Which I'm like, hey, you know, bring it.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
And I think that's just how he grew up.
Yeah.
So I can't fault him for that. Mm-hmm. That's what he knows. But
yeah, but he knows better now.
He knows better now.
That little hobby turned into, you know, quite a thing.
Yeah.
Right. So before we leave the actual divorce part, any advice or anything you can think of looking back for someone who's listening to this and they're like going through it, they're in it and they're listening to you and they're like, oh, there's hope.
I mean, my advice is try to stay civil for the kids' sake. I still to this day feel guilty that they were young. They never asked for that. Like their life totally changed. And so people that I hear are like fighting all the time and they tell their kids everything and the kids are listening to them on the phone with their attorneys. Don't do that. I know people get like caught up in all that, but the kids don't need to hear that. And the sad thing is, you know, now that my kids are older, they're like, oh, well, we did hear this and this. And that makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Well, so. I don't think any divorce comes out unscathed in terms of it's going to create fault lines in your children. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I say that and I stand by that, but it doesn't mean that you don't try your best.
Right.
You know, I mean, but it wouldn't end if it didn't end badly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you build this puppy. Now you're a single hot little minx ready to mingle and do some business. I mean, so did you have,
I love all your descriptions.
Did you have fun when you were single, or did you date, or did you find the dating life was like, there are some real like creepos out there?
I honestly really didn't date. It's, we kind of met like really You'd, quick.
Well, you know what? No, and one's, you're not staying on the market. You're not staying on the market. That's not happening. So did you know this guy? Was he someone you knew, the new hubby?
So what's interesting is, so he is a dentist and he had a partner who was a lot younger. And so I did have a friend who was divorced and I said, I think that you should meet this guy. He's a dentist. She was actually a hygienist. I'm like, guys, we'll hit it off. You already got a topic to talk about. So she's like, okay, I'd be up for that. So she said, well, can you at least like come with me and make the introduction and then you can leave? And I'm like, sure. Cause I had no interest in being downtown on a Thursday night.
I'm not bringing you to any introduction to me and a date. I'd be like, no way.
So we go down there, I go down there. I am literally walking in to where we were going to meet him. And she calls me and she's like, I have the worst migraine. I'm not coming. I'm like, I am going to absolutely kill you. So I call him and I say, hey, she is not coming. I'm just going to head back. And he's like, well, are you down here? And I said, yeah, but I just want to go home. And he's like, oh, well, just come in and say hi. I'm like, that's fine. So I went in. It was Gordon Biersch. So I went in and, you know, I'm talking to him and he's like, oh, well, this is my partner, Chris. And I'm like, hey, and they had been drinking and stuff. And so I just sat down and had something to drink. And, you know, Chris, who's now my husband, I'm like, you're obnoxious. Like, he was so loud. I'm like, who are you? And then I left. And that was the end of it. And then like a while later, he sent me a Facebook message. And I was like, oh.
What did it say? Do you remember?
I don't even remember what it said. But I basically said to him again, yeah, I thought you were very obnoxious.
So how did he win you over?
His obnoxious personality. He's not like that all the time. It's just they were having fun and they were drinking. And
you know, I'm intrigued by dentists.
Really?
Yeah, because like, don't they say that like the suicide rate is the highest for dentists of any?
So,
like, what is it? Like, does he talk about like the fact that no one wants to come see him? That it's everyone's last, like no one wants to go there.
Okay, well, first
does it
of
affect
all,
him?
So, no. He is the most laid back person you will ever meet. Like he says, I'm type A. He's like maybe a C+. He doesn't let things bother him. And I've asked him that. I go, why is the suicide rate? And he's like, I don't know. Everyone wants to come see me. And so he's like,
I'm actually one of those outlier anomalies in the statistics. They're like, except for Chris.
He's very confident.
Apparently.
So
he bagged you after you said, after you said, see ya. So clearly
he's got confidence.
I love that.
So I did ask him that. And he said, I think it's more the dentist who use, and I'm sure there's a name, is it like nitric? Like the laughing gas. And after a stressful day, they get in their chair and they put the mask on, and a lot of them have died.
That would actually just tell me a story. But you know what? Because it's always been something for me in my head. And I don't want to ask the actual dentist because I'm like, I don't want to like, you know, bring him down or whatever. It's kind of a random thing. But like, why is it? But that would make more sense to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, you know, I can't imagine it's because, oh, people don't want to come see me, so I'm sad. Anyway, no, if there's any dentists out there, anyone who has any sort of education on this, could you send me a DM and just put my mind at ease on this? I could take this out of this little nook and cranny in my brain about dentists.
Let me tell you the relationship that he has with his patients. Like, I was at the dentist office one day, and he walked into the next room, and there was this older woman there, and he's like, oh, my God, you're still alive? I mean, and she just starts cracking up. That's the kind of person he is. And that's the relationship he has with. So
that's amazing.
He's a little different.
I love that. I think I would probably like that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up in a relationship pretty soon after.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, okay, your radar was up where you're like, you better be on board with this boss babe.
Yeah.
And he probably loves him some like boss babe Kim.
Some guys would say it's intimidating, and then others would be like, I think that's totally attractive. And
you got to weed out. It's like you take a strainer and you just pull those little weasels, the ones that like find it intimidating.
Yeah.
You just pull them right through and let them go down the drain. I'm like, really? If you're intimidated by a strong, powerful woman, you got to like go deep and figure out why.
Yeah.
You know,
but he was not. He thought it was great. And he dove in. I mean, he helped me do everything. He met all the girls.
Great.
He was like part of the team already.
That's great. So he has kids too?
He has kids too. He has three kids.
So you're only married. You're a newlywed. You've only been married a year and a half.
Yeah.
So you guys never had kids under the roof together.
No.
That's actually very helpful.
Well, I shouldn't say that. We did it, really, my son,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, his kids were in college. And it was really just my son.
So speaking of your son, so you had mentioned something previous to this conversation about social media. I said, are there any social issues that you would want to talk about or that you feel passionately about? And the one thing you said is that social media is like ruining our kids' lives. And mm-hmm. that's a hot, hot, loaded topic. So give me the backdrop around why you feel that way.
So I see the comparison that kids make, and not just kids. As a 54-year-old woman, I will see someone's account and be like, oh my God, she's killing it. And like, even though I'm happy for her, it makes me feel like shit. Like, well, what do I need to do to step up my game to do something like that? So it's just this comparativeness, and we're judging ourselves on likes and how many followers we have. And as an adult, that's hard. Take it to a kid and it makes it even harder. And, you know, I just saw my son going down a rabbit hole that was not good with social media. I know this day and age, it's a necessary evil, but I've seen the evil side of it. And I will say so my son was down at Children's in their, you know, behavioral health center, which unfortunately they're adding on to. So that just tells you the issues that we have. And we had met with a psychiatrist one day, and he was there actually during the pandemic. And I don't know how it got brought up, but she actually picked up her phone and she said, "This is when the pandemic started for these kids." And that was like, ding, ding, ding. Yes, it is. When they all got their phones and they couldn't put them down. And so I'm on social media. I don't like it, but I realize for a business, I mean, you have to be on it. Again, I don't do it. We hire somebody to do it. I just don't enjoy it.
Yeah, but you're still looking, right? You're still looking for likes and other people, and it's really hard to stave off completely.
Yeah.
So when you say your son was going down a rabbit hole, was he being bullied? Was he like, what was happening specifically? And then how did you, because I don't know how old he was and that was going on, how do you stop the train? Like, you can't just take his phone away. Like, what do you do?
So he was being bullied at school. And I didn't see it on his phone, but I mean, he kind of fessed up and told us he was being bullied. You know, during his stay down there, we were meeting with him and another, like a counselor, and they said, "Well, your mom and dad are going to see your phone. So is there anything on it that you don't want them to see?" And there was a lot. And that was, as a parent, I mean, how many parents say that they go through their kid's phone every night or every week? I guarantee not many. And so then to truly see what was going on was, it blow your mind. It still to this day bothers me, and things people would say, and just the sickos that are out there.
Did he have full access all the time? Like, I know some people, they try to like close down the phone, mm-hmm. or how do you do that? Like, how do you even, is it a manageable thing?
It's not a manageable thing because they have all these tools, like Verizon will have tools to, you could put in websites that they can't go to that have, you know, whether it's porn or drugs or whatever, they find their ways around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're smart. So it's like, yeah, we shut the internet access off at a certain time. Well, he can figure out how to get on it.
Yeah.
The kids are smart. I mean, it's, and I wish, you know, I stress this to parents who have young kids, like if there's any way to not give them a phone, do not give them a phone, or don't allow them on social media. It's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because my daughter and then Chris's three kids, I mean, they're on social media, but they're not like active. It's just more casual. And they all say, yeah, we really don't like it.
Yeah. So I have to be honest, I'm going to turn a corner, but my brain is so twisted and warped. It really is. So, okay, let's move on to you being a newlywed. So I'm trying to sit here and I'm picturing, so you live on 15 acres, mm-hmm. you're 54, you're hot as shit. I'm assuming he's a looker too.
He's a good looker.
Right?
Guy.
So here you guys are on 15 acres of land, hot, young, just married. That's got to be a lot of fun. No kids.
No kids.
I mean, what the hell do you guys do all the time?
Really nothing. Netflix.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that, like, you know, for moms and like people in the throes of like the thick of it right now, it's like, let's just take a minute and picture Kim's life out in the country, shall we? With Chris. Now, do you, you don't go to him for your teeth stuff, do you?
Mm-hmm.
My God. Is...
I do, but I was just telling him today, I'm like, do you realize I have not had my teeth cleaned for like a year? So, yeah, don't look at my teeth. No, your teeth are beautiful.
Thank you. I think your teeth are beautiful. I think everything about you is gorgeous. I mean, I'm just like, I'm totally standing on you. No, you know what I'm doing? I'm glazing you. I just learned this.
What is that?
Where I'm like all over you and like jocking you. I'm glazing Kim.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to have to use that.
So it's kind of a like a low-key existence.
It is. I mean...
I'm going to make up my own narrative. I'm going to keep all my sick twisted, you know.
It.
Oh yeah.
Now we did say the other day, we're like, we're thriving as empty nesters.
And
I really don't know what that means, but we enjoy it out there. We have fun. We laugh at our dog. We've done a lot to the property so that, cause we always want the kids to come out and actually his son, his youngest, is getting married at our house in August.
I bet your house is just ridiculous because you're you.
Well, it's nice.
Be humble, Kim.
Nice. I mean, is there a lot of things that I would like to do to it? Yes, but, you know.
So can we cut to the chase and get to the real question, which is how do you look this way? So what do you do? I know people are going to want to know this. You're fit as a fiddle. You look like you're 35. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Like, I want to know from all the way from what is your workout routine to your skincare? Like, what do you eat? Can I just know everything here?
Sure.
Give it all.
It's nothing exciting.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So you are into fitness. Mm-hmm. So I loved fitness. When I was 16, I asked for a gym membership for my 16th birthday. Always worked out. Just had a passion for it. So at 39, I decided to do my first fitness competition because I was like, I'm going to do it either 39 or when I am 40. So I did it at 39, placed third. And it was one of those one and dones. I wasn't like, oh, I'm addicted. I got to do this again. I just wanted to say that I did it. It taught me a lot of mental strength. When you're the way your nutrition has to be, your workouts need to be. So that was a huge thing for me. But I've always worked out. Now, getting older, I've changed my workouts. I'm still strength training, but now I make sure to get my steps in every day.
Where are you strength training? Do you do it in your house?
So I do it. We do it in the house. But then I also work out with a guy who's like 2 minutes from my office, which is amazing, twice a week. And it's very like functional training. Mm-hmm. So he works on a lot of balance and movement and, you know, still weights. But
when you get your steps in, how many, like, what are you doing? You're running?
No.
You look like you might have a six pack. And I'm just trying to figure it out.
I wish I had a six pack.
You look like you also probably are a very good eater.
I'm a very good eater.
So
I will say, when I trained for the fitness competition, tons of protein, and I really screwed up my stomach. And I think it was just all the whey protein and the protein drinks that you're drinking. And so I really had to do a major reset. And that was like 6 years ago when I went to doctors and got testing, like, am I allergic to this? Am I sensitive to this? And finally I was like, okay, no one's helping me, so I just got to figure this out on my own. So what I did was I actually trusted this guy who was really into juicing over in New Albany. And he's like, give me 10 days and I will heal your stomach issues. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm like, I'll try anything. So I did a juice cleanse for 5 days.
Damn you.
And he told me exactly how I was going to feel. Like, he's like, you'll hate me for the first 3 days. The third day, you're going to feel like you have the flu. And you don't. You're fine. The fourth day, you are going to feel like a new person. And he was spot on. And then, like, he slowly had me put things back in my diet. So now I know what I can and can't eat, but I really do try to eat really clean because, you know, got the menopause thing going on and all that stuff.
So let's, I need to go in deeper on this because I'm already starting to get pissed off a little bit. I'm like, I'm getting mad. I'm like, I have to redo everything that I ever thought was true. Jesus, Kim, damn you. Okay. So how often do you now do the juice cleanse? Like, do you do them every once in a while? Are you intermittent fasting? What's going on?
I don't do intermittent fasting. I am big on the juices.
So do you juice every day?
No. So every once in a while, I will order 3 days worth of juices and just do a 3-day cleanse. It's all juice.
How often?
I would say once every 6 to 8 weeks.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Like the compound effect of that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a number one. I know that's one thing she's doing that none of us are doing, which is partially why she looks like a porcelain doll. Damn it.
Guess what though? I got a facial yesterday.
You
so
look good.
Maybe that's why.
So you do, a little Botox.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you,
any
sure.
filler?
No filler.
Just Botox? Have you done anything else?
I had filler and I hated it. And
yeah.
So I did the dissolving.
Well, you look really natural. Like you don't
well,
like, I know there's Botox there just because I mean, you have,
yeah.
You look, but anything else?
Because I'm frozen.
And no, you're not frozen at all. You look perfect. Anything else you've done that you can share?
Lasers.
Yeah, I've done a laser.
Okay. Laser treatment. But I will say I had one done on my eyes next level. I was not expecting the downtime that I had with it. But
when you
it
say,
was great.
You mean like a...
So when I've had laser treatments before, they do your face, but they cover your eyes
yeah.
with goggles.
Yeah.
This was targeting your under eye.
Oh, shit.
Legit. Like...
But it looks good under there.
Thank you.
So do you think that it helped a lot?
Oh, yeah. But eyes swollen shut. I mean.
Did it hurt?
It hurt, yeah. But, you know.
Oh, beauty hurts, honey.
It does.
Yeah. What? Anything else that you can think of? Like, what is your skincare routine?
So I'm really lucky because my sister-in-law works for a plastic surgeon's office.
Who does she work for?
Donaldson Plastic Surgery.
Oh, I know all about Donaldson. I've seen him multiple times.
Yeah.
I like that place.
Amazing. So I'm on her friends and family discount.
Oh, hell yes.
So I'm her number one right now.
Does she
now.
Need any new friends?
She might.
Seriously.
They actually just did a podcast. I don't know who they did it with. But
that's amazing.
So, yeah, she's
they
my
should actually sponsor my show because truly the demo here is yeah. highly concentrated for Donaldson.
Well,
did you hear that, Donaldson?
Yeah.
Dr. Donaldson, paging Dr. Donaldson.
And Carrie always says, oh, you got to do this. You got to do this. So she's my like,
yeah.
try this, try. Now, she doesn't tell me how bad it hurts.
Well, yeah, because you're going to do it anyway.
So, yeah.
So what do you have? What does she have you doing? Like diamond encrusted gold dust and like all kinds of that skincare stuff
so
in there
she,
that's like from, you know, the Garden of Eden.
I know. Environ.
Oh.
That's their big skincare line.
Okay.
So cleanser, it's actually really easy. Cleanser, moisturizer, some serum that you mix with the moisturizer, and that's about it.
Hmm.
And then going in there for facials and
yeah.
dermaplanes. Dermaplanes are
oh,
the
yeah.
best. Which I did not realize how many women shave their face.
I don't shave mine, but when I get a facial, she shaves it here and there.
I know, but I'm saying
they do a lot.
I've talked to women who are like, oh no, I literally mm-hmm. take a razor to my face.
See, that gives me anxiety.
I'd be nervous mm-hmm. doing that.
I would not be doing that.
I'm like,
but
no,
I get it if you want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a let everyone do whatever the fuck they want to do. I got my own problems. Go shave your face if you want to.
Yeah, and I told her, I go, you're going to see me a lot this year. If I'm your number one this year, because I get a nice discount, I'm trying everything. So
one more thing before we move on.
Yep.
What do you eat then? Like, do you ever eat any sugar? Like, what's your splurge? Are you literally like... chicken breast?
No.
Like, what do you eat
really
a typical day?
I really honestly don't eat a lot of meat because it doesn't, not that I don't like it, it just doesn't like me.
Yeah.
So.
Typical day.
Typical day, I usually will do a smoothie in the morning with pretty much anything and everything in it.
Protein powder?
Protein powder, but I do a plant-based protein powder.
Okay.
I'm also a snacker. So in my cabinet at work, there's... nuts, dried apricots. I mean, it's a joke in my office. Like, they'll find, I usually put my supplements on top of my water bottle and they'll find one that I dropped on the floor and they're like, oh, Kim, we found your lunch on the floor.
I got your number. You're like, one of those little, what? You're one of those little nibblers.
Like, I am a nibbler. You are,
oh goodness. Like, this is, I'll never get there. You're a nibbler.
I am.
I'm a like, you know, pull up the trough and just. Oh,
I used to be like, I would literally eat probably 6 to 8 eggs in a sitting with cheese and veggies and Frank's hot sauce. I'm talking a big plate. And I can't do that anymore.
Now you just nibble.
Now I just
Okay,
nibble.
So what's your lunch? So you got the smoothie and then you nibble. And then do you have a lunch?
So I love Chop 5.
Oh, so do I.
So I love that place.
I like Chop 5 too. Shout out to Chop 5.
Yeah.
God, you know what? But my business brain, it totally triggers my business brain every time I go in there.
Why?
Because I just can only imagine the process and the inner workings of the franchising and like mm-hmm. the product and how they like how they measure everything.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
I put myself in the perspective of being like the person who's in charge of everything and running the business. I can't help it. Chop 5 triggers my business
really?
Brain. Yeah. But I still go there and I love the salad, but I can't turn it off. When I walk in, I am like completely OCD'd out about the business.
Really?
It's funny. Yeah. Totally. But I love you, Chop 5.
Yeah.
Love your salads. Okay. So Chop 5, you'll have a salad.
Yep.
And you eat like what, half of it, or you eat the whole thing?
Sometimes I eat half of it.
Like I take that thing down.
Now, yesterday I had it and like inhaled it.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. Yeah. Okay. Then will you nibble between?
Then I'll nibble.
Okay. And then dinner will be like?
Dinner is, let's see. My husband made me sweet potato and black bean burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love.
Okay.
So we'll do that. That's the thing. Like, I'm not a foodie. Like,
yeah. What's your indulgence? Like, what's your, if you're like, okay, I'm going to go
pizza
in.
Pizza and chocolate.
Okay.
Like, I love a good pizza. Love it.
Anything else that you have that's at the secret, the, like a little something where you're like, okay, this is my little, like, I know this is really beneficial for my health and wellness.
So I'm finding that the sauna, so we put in a sauna like 2-3 years ago and it really does help you sleep. I think it helps your skin. I don't know.
I just ordered one. It's coming in June. It was a 6-month back order.
It's the best.
Redwood.
Is it infrared
no,
or
it's just
steam?
It's steam. Yeah.
That's
so
what we
it's
did.
It's Redwood. I've been researching for like 3 years and every winter I get closer to pulling the trigger. And then I have a guy, Dustin, who I'm friends with, and he's all about the, not the infrared, but the redwood.
Yeah.
And so he kind of teetered me over the edge. And so I ordered it and it's a 6-month.
You will love
wait.
It.
Yeah. I can't wait. Do you cold plunge?
So no, I want to so bad. I have that. What is it called?
Raynaud's. Yeah.
So I'm a little nervous, but some podcasts that mm-hmm. I've listened to are like, that really helps it.
But there's a place I go to, it's Bexley Massage Garage, and she mm-hmm. does deep freezes.
Oh.
And it's really great because they're long.
Okay.
And she puts like lavender in them. Mm-hmm. And I was the fear of God. I did not want to go in. I was so scared. And she got me in. And I was in for probably 6 minutes, but like 4 minutes. And then we went to the sauna and then went back in. It was amazing.
I want to try it.
Yeah.
Like the kids actually got a portable cold plunge, mm-hmm. but it's not as portable as you think. Cause we kept saying, bring it up to the house this summer and we'll do it. And we just haven't done it yet.
Well, I love that. Well, thank you I know I just peppered you with questions,
okay.
But listen, I know people are going to want to know this.
You know what? As I get older, like anything that will help, I'm looking into red light therapy. Like what will that do? But mm-hmm. yes, sauna and just staying active.
Yeah.
I think it's huge.
Okay. Let's.
But I appreciate the compliment.
No, it's totally, it's very authentic and real. You look great. So, okay. Business. Let's turn the dial because we now are coming upon an hour, if you can believe it. What, if you had to give advice to either someone who's on the fence to even start something right now, but they're scared, they just don't know if they're good enough. And oh my God, what if they all laugh at me? And what if I fail? All the way to someone who is in the middle of the thick of it, they're in the storm, and they're like, what the fuck have I gotten myself into? you know, any of those people out there, because there's all different varieties mm-hmm. of people that are struggling and looking for inspo, what would you tell them to do, not to do? You know, any kind of advice from you, where you sit and what's made you successful, and maybe things that you've, like failures that you've had.
Yeah. And I just think the patience is a big thing, because again, going back to the social media, there's so much online about, oh, I started this business and I'm at six figures in 2 months. I'm like, no, you're not. So then when someone isn't there in 2 months, they're like, well, I failed and I'm done. Like, it takes a long time. So I think patience is a huge thing. Surrounding yourself with supportive people. So if you have somebody who is scared and can I do this and am I going to fail, like, make sure you're surrounding yourself with supportive people, because if you're with someone or your friends are like, oh my God, that's not going to work, or, I mean, get a new tribe of people to hang around.
You know what else? It's like the advice, like, do not listen to anyone who has not done what you want to do. Your echo chamber, you really need to look at your echo chamber and the people who are, you know, in your quote unquote circle, like, get outside of that to get advice on shit.
You do. You really do. So I would say those are the biggest things. And as far as somebody who's in the thick of it and is having problems, that's just business. And you, those problems, you're going to learn from them. I mean, we have things all the time that, I mean, we may have pissed off a client, and you do everything you possibly can to make them happy and, you know, rectify the situation, and they're still mad. So you learn from that. It doesn't mean that you failed and it's time to close the business. It's just, it's a learning opportunity. And, you know, in 20 plus years, I've had a lot of learning opportunities, but you just have to walk away from it and say, okay, well, here's how I'm going to handle that the next time.
Yeah. That's sage. That's very sage advice. So what else about KP Designs Group that you would want people to know before we close out?
What do I want them to know? Well, there's a lot of design companies out there. The things that set us apart is, number one, we've got a big team of designers. And people are like, well, how do I know that I'm going to, you know, fit or vibe with your style? Well, we've got 13 designers who can do a vast array of different styles. And if one person can't, somebody else can, or they can collaborate on a project. So we also have a showroom, which we're kind of one of the first design companies to start a showroom here in Columbus. And now I've noticed a few other ones have started them. It's been a game changer for our designers, because now they're not running all over Columbus or scouring the internet for things. We have all kinds of accounts at our showroom. We're private, so we're only open to our design team and our clientele that can come in. You know, you can't just come in and shop around. So it's more of an exclusive thing to our clients. We really do have a talented team. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it.
Think I could come in there and look around? Sure. Let me snoop around?
You can come in.
Or at least look in the windows?
You can come in.
What's your aesthetic, personally?
My aesthetic is very comfortable. I don't like anything stuffy. I love the color blue. I always have. So there's a lot of blue in my house. I don't want to say I'm boring in style. I mean, my house is not like over the top. Like, there's wallpaper and crazy colors and crazy chandeliers. I appreciate that, but I just want calm when I come home.
Yeah, but I'm assuming if someone's worried about the style and the vibe, like, part of your job is to match what they want.
Exactly.
Right? So you're not trying to push your style in every home. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
Yeah. And I think that's what people think, like, well, if I'm only seeing this style on your website, that's all you do. Mm-hmm. We do a million different. It's what the client wants. That's what we're doing, yeah, is we're doing what the client wants.
I'm constantly wanting zhuzhing in my house.
Are you?
I need zhuzhing all the time because I feel like I can see things that are cool, but I can't floor set and like put them all together. I'll put like a candle here and then there'll be a vase with like a flower. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I just don't have that talent.
Our big thing, we do a ton of remodels because I think people think it's going to be an easy thing. And we just did a blog post about a remodel and how many decisions you have to make when you're doing a kitchen remodel. And if you screw something up and you screwed up step 10, that's going to affect step one.
The thread, you just pull the thread.
Right. Yeah. And you just spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So the designers are able to go in and project manage that whole process. And people love that because then they're like, yeah, I was working with this contractor and they gave me this list of all these things I had to pick out. And I went to the stone place and I found stone. But then how do I know it goes with the tile that I found out? So I'm like, that's where the designer comes
in. Leave that to the professionals. Yeah. What is your Instagram handle? I'm going to follow you right now.
It is KP Designs Group. And I have to plug our e-commerce that we just recently started, and that's KP at Home. And we're having a little pop-up shop this Saturday from 9 to 1.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And it's my daughter who's actually doing all that.
That's
my
amazing.
My daughter, by the way, works for me full-time.
Oh, that's great.
Which is crazy that she was 2 when I started.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kim, this has been a pleasure. You've made me reevaluate my entire life sitting here, just so you know. So I have a lot of thinking to do after this conversation, okay? I mean, literally, like everything needs to change. Thank you for being an inspiration.
But
and I know I'm teasing you, but in all seriousness, you are a baller, badass bee.
I'm so glad
the universe connected us. And I hope that we can just continue this awesome little energy into the future. And I can't wait to meet Chris. Bring his ass in here.
Oh, he would love this.
Bring him on the mic.
Oh, yeah. We're getting him in here.
Perfect. And if you're still out there following your girl, please follow me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, keep moving. What'd you think?
That was so fun. You're so good.
Thank you.